Let's talk now to Tina Koumarianis from Rathdrum. Hello, Tina.
Hello, Declan. Aren't we 40 shades of green?
Yeah, I'm not getting into green.
How are you today?
You've got to temper, you know, you've got to go hard on the people who are absolute 100% green.
Yeah,
and then you've got
to
go a different direction if people are coming from a different direction.
No, that's
and
a happy medium. Yeah. Happy medium, yeah.
Anyway, Tina Koumarianis is here to answer some of your questions. Here's one to start you off. I recently got engaged and I'm planning my wedding for next spring. How do I get what I want and keep everyone happy? Is this mission impossible?
Yeah, it's really mission impossible. So firstly, never lose sight of the fact that this is your wedding and your fiancé's day, not your parents, not your in-laws. They've had theirs, so it's nice to be nice and accommodating, but you must keep control of your day if you too want to be happy, because hopefully it's just a one-off. You won't be having another one. What I would do is arrange a nice lunch and invite close family on both sides. Listen to their ideas for the wedding, because they really do have your best interests at heart. And sometimes some of their suggestions can be very helpful. As a matter of interest, who's paying the bills? Because, you know, that person ultimately deserves a hearing on how they would like their contribution to be spent up to a point. You don't have to go along with the suggestions, but the odd one, like, you know, for example, Great Aunt Betty and her daughter should come, should be taken into consideration, except if you're short on space for your own friends. You know, because after all, it's your wedding, your big day, not a family birthday or get-together. Remember, it's your fiancé's wedding too, and thus his parents and their ideas have to be treated with respect as well. If you don't want a horde of children on your big day, stick to your guns. You'll be paying for a place setting, and depending on space at your chosen venue, possibly doing someone who you'd really, really love to be there out of an invitation to accommodate somebody's child. You know, the other downside of this is parents of young children often have to leave early to get them to bed, which, if there's a lot of children at your wedding, tends to break up the party and leaves the venue looking quite empty. My own daughter, Susie, stuck to her guns. No children, as there was a ceiling of 160 at Ballybeg House near Ockram. Those friends with children hired various Airbnbs, and a family member from each group was hired as a babysitter to entertain the children, who all knew each other already. So it worked really, really well. Mm-hmm. So a deep breath, smile nicely, and then do exactly what suits you and your budget. Have a lovely wedding.
Absolutely. Come back to, you mean, it's your day. So
it is. It's nobody else's.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, another one here, dear Tina. We are thinking of getting a dog. My partner wants a rescue dog. However, I want a purebred. Any suggestions?
Listen, Claire and I here in East Coast Radio, we could fill a whole day full of this. Firstly, have you really thought this through? Your question doesn't elaborate very much on what is, after all, a very important decision. A dog is an expensive and long-term commitment, as can be seen by the number of them that have been handed in to rescue centres at the moment, purely because of the cost of living is going up and people feel they just can't manage. It was on Sky News the other night, you know, one of the headlines that all these beautiful dogs, some of them purebred, were being handed in. There are a lot of purebred dogs handed in every year, along with mixed breeds. Also, there is a strange group of people who only want a puppy. So when that puppy gets past what they would describe as the cute stage and starts becoming a proper dog, they dump them into rescues and get another puppy. Thank goodness most dump into rescues where the dog can find a really kind, loving forever home, as these people would make lousy long-term owners anyway. So if you're willing to arrange boarding kennels for when you go on holidays, pay medical insurance and feed it well, very few things can give you more pleasure. What I'd do if I were you is I'd go to a good pet shop and pick up a book on different breeds, which would be a great help to see what sort of dog would suit your lifestyle. Also, if you do decide to go the rescue route, the staff at the rescue centre will be able to point you in the right direction as to what would suit your lifestyle best. My suggestion to you would be to go online and look at the different rescue centres in your locality and see what's on offer. The centre will do a home check to make sure you are a suitable dog owner, and then if you pick one and they're agreeable to it, they'll snip, chip and vaccinate the dog for a nominal fee. Now, for many years in Paris, and I think it probably still is, the dog of choice was a greyhound or lurcher or saluki in matching pairs, because they're very slim and elegant and slinky, and they suit the Parisian ladies very well. They need very, very little exercise. I know I've had them. I've got one at the moment. Maybe 30 minutes a day. And then they prefer to spend the other 23 and a half hours upside down on your couch. They just lie there. They do nothing, which is great. They're a bit like a cat. I have four rescue dogs at the moment, and I've had a lurcher, and now I have a 10-month-old greyhound. And they are the most placid, gentle, affectionate dogs, but they may be a little bit big depending on your own accommodation. So you'd have to take that into consideration. If you're starting out, it might be best to get a small dog, but one that your partner won't feel embarrassed to be seen with. A Jack Russell or Jack Russell Cross, they're gutsy little dogs, and they don't need daily grooming. You know, very large dogs have a tendency to lie in doorways and block up the place because they like to watch what's going on. But I do think small, long-haired white dogs should never have been introduced into Ireland due to our inclement weather. They spend most of the year covered in mud and smelling of damp. Some of them need a lot of grooming and visits to doggy parlours, and that, again, is very expensive. Do you have a dog, Declan?
No, we used to. But, it's too many commitments for going away.
It is. Yeah. If you're not going to be home for periods of the day, it would probably be a good idea to get two small dogs to amuse each other while you're out. You know, because
keep themselves company.
Yeah, you've got to. Like, I leave the telly on for the parrot every day. But yeah, that's what I do. I'd have a look online, but I think about it. You know, this, I want a pedigree, loads of pedigree dogs in rescues, but I think about it. I'm not quite sure that you are really that committed. I know it's a bit rude to say that, but your question was very, so very short.
There's more to be thought of here. I want to squeeze in one more, if you don't mind. And it's Hi Tina, and it's asktinak@gmail.com. Asktinak@gmail.com. Hi Tina, 20 years ago I had an affair with a man I fell madly in love with. Of course he was married with children, and although he felt the same, we decided to part company after 5 years. It was becoming too painful for us. He moved abroad with his family, out of sight, out of mind, but the older I get, the more I reminisce about what might have been. I've never married, as I've never met anyone I loved as much. How can I get him out of my head?
Oh God, you know, 20 years, that's very sad. When you may have made a good life with somebody else, instead you're hankering after something you couldn't have. But, okay, you know, glass half full, look on the bright side. You had 5 delicious years with him when you were both young and lovely, and it was possibly more interesting because it was forbidden fruit. The gloss may have worn off if you two had moved in together with all the daily boring routine instead of stolen moments of hot passion. You parted while you were still madly in love, and from what I can tell, no damage was done long term to his marriage, and he never had to see you grow old and wrinkly and vice versa. You have the benefit of knowing that you did the right thing. I wonder if he's still with his first wife, and if not, why is he not with you if it was so wonderful? If all that doesn't help, just think, as time went by, you may never have really trusted him, as having cheated on his first wife, you would have always wondered what he was up to if he was late home from work or glanced sideways at another woman. Enough said.
Enough said. Tina Kumarianis, asktinak@gmail.com. Thanks, Tina.
Not at all.
Very good. We've got a great mixture there, I can tell you. Thank you very much. Morning show at East Coast.